Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, dear God, for your faithfulness to us. We thank you that your love for us is with us, upon us, accompanies us. We can sense it, we know it. It encourages us through every step of our lives every day. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you that you have blessed us and continue to bless us as we walk with you, dear God. We simply pray that you would be with the needs of our hearts, that we would entrust those to you, and that we would rejoice in that our hope is sure and steadfast. Father, we ask your blessing in this time, and that the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts very clearly through your word. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is an unending topic. And yet it can be spoken of in a few words. Because it's a lesson, it's a topic that we know, it's a topic that's hopefully near and dear to us. But it's a topic that involves our each and every day and each and every moment of our lives. It's about knowing the truth. An important part that I'll bring up this morning, the emphasis this morning, is that we live in a world without knowledge of truth. Speaking of the world. As Jesus said, Father, I pray not for the world, but those that you have given me out of the world. We are not of this world. The scripture makes it plain. We are not like the world. Our orientation isn't just in this world. We have an orientation that is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. These are all verses and thoughts that we hear all the time. But the basic, stark reality of it is that these are words of truth. This is what makes Christians Christians. Jesus has said, we shine as lights in the world. We are called to be lights in the world. Even as he came into a world of darkness, a great light was shone upon the Gentiles. The angels announced on the time of Jesus' birth. We are lights in this world. We are surrounded by darkness. Darkness without knowledge. Darkness without understanding. Darkness, the darkness of ignorance. And it's not using the word ignorance as calling names, but it means to be ignorant of, without knowledge of. We are geniuses in a world of ignorance. To make it rather, stark contrast there. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to start with verse 23. But think of that. If the moment we believed in Christ as our Savior, we could see him bodily, and we could see the angels around us, we could see whatever is around us in the spirit realm, if we could see that with our natural eyes, everywhere we went, we saw Jesus. Everywhere we went, we saw spiritual beings. What difference would that make to the world? I said, you're crazy. I said, well, Jesus, you stand right here. If you believe, you'll see him. As Jesus told Thomas, he said, blessed are they that believe yet without seeing. You want to be blessed? Believe in Christ. Ask him to be your Savior, and you will see him. He's standing right here. The world would say we are crazy. But the thing is, would it matter much in our lives? Obviously, there are times in our lives, especially as young Christians, but there are times in our lives that if we could physically see Jesus, as this patient that I was seeing, this lady, she said, how can you believe without seeing? I don't, you know, how can you? Because you can't believe unless you see. You are blind until you believe. But listen to your heart. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is witnessing to your heart. Listen to what God is saying to your heart. And dare to believe. I told her, I said, just talk to him. Ask him to help your unbelief. Ask him to help you to know, because the Holy Spirit is the agent of salvation. He's the one who reveals Christ to us. So I can't do that for you. This is something that you and every other person that has ever lived must do on their own, because he is here. He is right here, right now with you. He loves you. He understands your situation. And this is our message to the world. So verse 23 says, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. These verses make it very plain. I don't want to talk about Calvinism, but it's one example where Paul's, the way he speaks about salvation, the way he speaks about coming to know God, makes it very clear that Calvinism is skewed, is wrong. If perhaps God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The world loves to accuse, especially in these days, as we'll get into in chapter 3, but the world loves to accuse any religious person, any religious, no matter what religion, I mean, all religions are under attack by the world. But especially Christians are violently under attack, and other religions are as well. But they're under attack by other religions for not believing what they think is right. But Christians are not called to strive. We're not called to entertain foolish and unlearned questions. We are called to acknowledge and profess the truth of God's word. The truth, just as if Jesus is at my side right now, and I can see him as you, I can see you, and you can see me. We say, well, how can you not acknowledge? But you can't unless you believe. And that's the gospel. That's the message. God does deal with humans. He does give indications. He does give signs. He does deal with their hearts. But we as Christians, we must remember that we are interacting with, we are interfacing with a world without truth. And the devil and the world systems have tried to change the Christian dialogue. They've tried to change the Christian dialogue. They've tried to change and are changing Christian, if you're going to call them traditions or practices. The world wants to undermine everything that would remind the world and those in darkness that there is something more than this world, that there is life on the, and beyond this world, that there is Christ at our sides. And as we'll get to into chapter 3, Lord willing, that may or not today or not, but think of how even the church has had its focus changed from sin in the old creation and sin in mankind, been diverted to calling out acts of sin. Now, there are things that, three things I'll mention. That one, Christians are called to know the truth. We are called to believe the truth, which is different. I'll like there's differences between knowing and believing. And then we are called to follow the truth, obey the truth, walk in truth, walk in that light. And you could compare that to, if you would, traffic speed limit signs. I've done that before. Any person or young person learning to drive are called, well, you need to know what's the speed limit in residential areas, what's the speed limit in business areas, what's the speed limit in alleys, what's the speed limit on highways, and what's the speed limit on county roads, those sorts of things. It's one thing to know, but it's another thing to actually believe that when you're out driving and understand that you turn off this road onto this road, well, there's a change in the speed limit. I need to believe that and follow that. But then to follow the speed limit signs is a whole different thing. To obey the speed limit signs is a whole other thing. Sin, the world and the other things within the church have turned the focus away what real sin, real darkness is. Well, doing this or eating this or drinking that or being involved with that, that's a sin. We're not that far away from time when playing cards is a sin. I was telling, we had a gospel sing at a church in Valley here a couple weeks ago. And we were talking afterwards and they thanked me for, you know, coming in and playing my guitar. And I said, well, you know, there was a time not that long ago. I said, there's a lady that used to go to a church here in Havelock. It's no longer a church. It's moved. But I told her, I said, I was the first person in that church to play a guitar for music. Because that church considered the guitar basically the devil's jukebox. And they did not allow guitars to play music in the church. But I played two songs for a wedding, and I was the first one in that church history to do that. I said, that's how attitudes have changed. And we can have these traditions that really divert the truth and the point of it to something ridiculous. Jesus said, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles a man. It's what's come out of your mouth. It's what comes out of the heart. And out of the heart proceeds out of the mouth proceeds the wickedness, as Jesus said, and the unveils the things within the heart, the ungodly things. It's the things that we think, it's the things that we say, it's the things that we contemplate, the things that we give our energies to that are sin. It's not the things themselves. The things are just the evidence of being otherwise minded, and oftentimes walking in the darkness and harmonizing with the darkness in the world around us. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, willing to teach, and given to teaching, and patient, in meekness, not with haughtiness, not with lording it over people, but with meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. We are the children of God. We are we walk in the light. Our citizenship is in heaven. And the only way that we have of spreading this and sharing this with those that we love is to walk in tune with God. That our words match what God has already put on their hearts. What God has already put on their hearts to think about, and then our words match that, then they realize that there is a witness, that we've heard the same things, that we might know the same things, and we might be able to teach them those things. But we live in a world today without truth, and a world that stands in opposition to itself. The world and mankind as a whole is opposing themselves. Mankind, we are, by sin, we are our own worst enemies. We are our own worst enemies. But the world without knowledge of the truth, the world in darkness, the world in ignorance, are like the blind stumbling around. And they don't like it that we walk past things, that we do things presumptuously, because how do you know you're not going to, this isn't going to happen? How do you know that's not going to happen? Well, the Lord's leading me. The Lord's teaching me. The Lord's guiding me. And he'll guide you too. We encourage, we teach, we're gentle. We understand that they are blind. But we do them, it's one thing to in witnessing people, to be gentle with them and apt to teach and patient, and to meekly instruct them that oppose themselves. But we are never called to confess blindness and ignorance that we might be like them. That degree of separation is massive. We know God as if he stands in our presence and we can see him with our eyes. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I belong to him. We are given an assurance, a hope, a confidence in our faith. And that confidence grows and grows. As more we walk with God, the more we experience the leading of the Holy Spirit. And listen, you know, we were talking about that a little bit Wednesday night. You know, I can't think of the song right now. But I've heard several songs that we sing regularly. You know, I can't remember. If you want courage, take part in the fight. If you want liberty, shout and be free. Believe what the Word of God says concerning you. That's what Christians, we believe what God says concerning us and our salvation. We believe that we have eternal life. What evidence do we have? Don't Christians die? You dumb Christians. The world mocks, you know, especially during COVID, there was lots of mockery. You know, well, if you're a Christian, then just don't ever go to a doctor. Don't ever, you know, do anything to take care of yourself. If God's going to take care of you, then you can do, you know, just ignore all this other stuff. The world mocks the fact that you believe in God. That you say you know God. You can't know him. You know, God doesn't make sense. He's just this make-believe character you've made up to make yourself feel better. All this mockery is because they are blind. But we are to walk as the sighted, as the knowing, as the confident in a world filled with darkness and confusion and hatred and wickedness. We live in a world without truth, without recognition of truth. This is something we need to be very cognizant of. We need to be aware of that we are called to be witnesses. Living proof. Living proof that God is at my side and he's for me, that I am his child. All those concepts are things the world cannot comprehend because we live in a world without truth. So we must believe, know the truth. We must believe the truth. And then we must walk in the truth. Follow the truth. Make decisions and things in our lives based on the Spirit's leading, because we never know where God's going to take us. God doesn't follow our plan. He follows his own will for our lives, and he wants us to follow him. But our conduct in the world is again, as verse 24 says, the servant of the Lord. And that's a level of Christian faith that not every Christian gets to. We live in a time when the church is, reading the book of Revelation, the church of Laodicea had all the trappings, all the appearance of godliness, of truth, of being the family of God. And Jesus said, you're not rich, you're naked, you're blind, you're poor. You have need that one teach you. If any man, you know, open the door. When he knocks on the door, if any man open the door to me, I will come in and have fellowship with him. But we live in a time when the church, in many ways, is also without knowledge, is also in darkness. Christianity is not a trend. It's not an activity. It's not a game. We are those who believe in the second coming of Christ. We believe in the first coming of Christ. We believe in the power of the blood. We believe in the atoning work of God. We believe that this world is not what it appears to be. And we are called to understand that and live our lives in this world with that knowledge in mind, that this world is not what it appears to be. This world, if I can come up with the word, this world is transient. The ways of this world are transient. The things of God are permanent. The things that cannot be seen will endure. God's word will never pass away, but everything in this world will pass away. As Peter writes, what manner of persons ought ye to be knowing these things? How does this change us? How does the truth change the way we live out our days, we live our lives, what we do with our time, what we do with our energies? Knowing the truth makes us comfortable. Well, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. You've heard me give that example many, many years ago, and over the years, about the brother and the Lord that finally came to me and said, the way I see it, I've got the best of both worlds. I know I'm saved. I know God loves me. I've believed in Christ, my Savior. He said, but I really don't want to go any farther than that. I said, I just want to enjoy my life in this world, and then when I die, I'll go to heaven. He said, so the way I see it, I've got the best of both worlds. And in fact, I think he did learn some later, but in fact, he only had just the bare minimum of both worlds, because everything in this world did not last. And if he adopted that attitude throughout the rest of his life, I hardly ever saw him again. He entered heaven with his salvation, and that's all. Is he saved? Yes. Is he with the Lord? Yes. Does he have eternal life? Yes. But he's also very aware of all the things he gave up. He lost. He didn't do. And he regrets, if you can have regrets in heaven. But we are called as those that know the truth in our conduct in this world without knowledge. The Lord wants us to be aware of the world we live in. So let me finish out into verse 25. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. They're working against themselves. So many areas of our culture today, people are working against themselves. They're defeating their own joy. They're defeating their own happiness. They are giving themselves to the things of this world, which cause them in turn to have misery and anguish and pain. It's like an addiction. They keep giving themselves to it, thinking that maybe, make it tolerable. But as verse 26 says, they oppose themselves, but we instruct them, if God prevents, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. They might recognize and see, pursuing those things in the world, the things that are in darkness, the things that are in ignorance, the things that deny the fact that Jesus is at my side and can be at their side, maybe God will give them opportunity to acknowledge the truth. Acknowledge the truth. It doesn't say learn it or discover it. But to acknowledge something that they know, that the Spirit has already witnessed to their hearts, like acknowledging the speed limit signs. To acknowledge the existence of the boundaries of humanity. It makes it a different world. We change the world. You want to see how acknowledging and obeying the truth does to the world? Go out on the interstate, get in the fast lane, and drive the speed limit. And you will change people's world. You'll have an impact. I was trying to think of somebody I was visiting with the other day. We were talking about, I've seen it, and or things like it. But he said that there was some highway patrolmen out on the interstate, and there was an accident miles ahead, and everybody was driving, ignoring the speed limit. And the highway patrolman finally got up in front of a group of cars, and all of a sudden he started driving. It was three lanes, just back and forth and back and forth, slowing down, finally doing the lesser at the speed limit, kept weaving around until he got everybody's attention, and then he led the way and slowed the traffic down, and then there was an accident up ahead. He was preparing and getting to slow down and be ready for that. Sometimes we as Christians do that. We live our lives, we do things completely odd to the world, which hopefully will slow the world down. They'll get the world's attention, help them to realize that there is a God that loves them, that Jesus died for them, that perhaps they will acknowledge the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. The world does not know that they're in the snare of the devil. They're in darkness and living, and they're deceived. We're pointed at all sorts of things. Well, this is the most important thing, or this is the most popular thing, or this is what you should be doing, this is what you should be wearing, this is what you should be giving your time to. This is more important than living life as a Christian. It's being in the snare of the devil. It isn't what we take in. It's what goes on inside of us. And what comes out of our mouths and the things that we give our lives to. There's nothing more precious than human life. There's nothing more unique and rare in all the universe than the life of a human being created in the image of God for God's purpose and for God's will. I read a news article this morning that I'd mentioned it before, but this 29-year-old woman over in the Netherlands, she finally got permission after several years, and they carried out. She had a doctor assisted. They don't like they use that term. They don't like doctors tied to that. But doctor assisted suicide because the doctor said, "Well, you've got a cognitive problem that that is never going to change. You're always going to be like this." Nothing wrong with her health. It was a mental issue. She had a bit of autism, and she was depressed. Now she's dead. But there was a quote there. She said this disease is something along the lines, it's the biggest obstacle in my life. And death isn't. But there's a human, a most precious creature that is dead today because of the ignorance of truth. God could touch her and heal her. God could give her strength. There's no end to what God might have done in that life, and it's now all wasted. That is something that the Lord would remind us of this morning, is there's so many things that God could do in us and through us in our lives if we availed ourselves of the truth that we know. We might know it. We might understand it. But do we walk in it? We are called to be representatives of God's truth. And by us acknowledging that and walking that in that in our lives and living each day, Scott, what if that was Jesus sitting beside you rather than your wife? Well, he's sitting on this side of you. He is there. He is right in this room. That's what the Bible says. Wherever two or more are gathered, there I am in the midst of them. That's how real it is. And if our eyes are blinded to that, that we don't live our lives in that, more and more, no, we're not perfect. We're going to forget. We have things we're doing. But God sends us these constant reminders that he's right there with us, blessing us. And as we walk in the light of the truth, it touches other lives around us. It causes them to see that there's a witness there, that something God has been working in their heart, and there is something more than this life. We live in the last days, chapter 3, verse 1 says, that in the last days, perilous times will come. We are certainly living in perilous times. How do we know? Well, because there's so much alcohol use, or so much drug use, or so much people breaking speed limits, or so many people doing things that are, we can talk about that later. All this stuff, there are people just playing cards everywhere and playing guitars in churches and all these sorts of things. No. The things that Paul mentions, and just the very first thing in verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. What do we hear so much? We need to love yourself. You need to take care of yourself. Well, there's a responsible living. But we're not supposed to, as verse 4 says, be lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. This life is the greatest joy. I mentioned to Mary just yesterday, or the day before, and I've mentioned it before, that God has blessed me, and I don't know of a time in my life where I have been more happy. Doesn't mean life's easy, but I'm just absolutely happy and content. Not because of the stuff I might have or the money I might have or the health I might have or anything, but because God, I just look back how God has blessed me, that God is with me. And if he came for me today, I'm excited to be with him. But he's with me now. That doesn't change, except what I'm able to sense. I'm going to leave this body behind. But whatever body, whatever entity, whatever it might be like to be like Christ, to be in his presence, and that fullness, absolute fullness of the things of God, yeah, I look forward to that. But I've got just about all I can take right now. But verse 4 says, there'll be those who are lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Marijuana is not better than God. But I recently heard that there are more people in the United States using marijuana on a daily basis than those who drink alcohol on a daily basis. And I was going to look it up. I didn't think of it until now. But, what percentage of Americans use alcohol on a daily basis? But there's more that use marijuana. We live in changing times. But that really isn't the issue. It's not what goes in. It's why do they give their lives to that pleasure, that feeling good or whatever feelings they may have, it does vary, more than lovers of God. This world lives in darkness. The people in this world are in darkness. They are without truth. And many within the church are forgetful of the truth and set the truth aside. That's the times we live in. Deceiving times. Times of trickery and darkness. And that darkness needn't be in our lives. But the only way to get it out of our lives is to walk in the light. If anything today, it's to be reminded that we live in a world without truth. We live in a world in darkness. We live in a world that needs our witness to bring the light of the truth to light in their own lives and to be witnesses along with the Holy Spirit as to the love of God in Christ. As you come today and take communion, it doesn't save you. It doesn't change you. But it's a witness. It's a testimony. It's a confession. It's acknowledgement that you believe that Jesus died for you, that you might live with him forever, that he is the light and the salvation of the world. And through faith in him, a person has eternal life. May God bless you as you come.